already.
I literally twice.
I've lost my pen. Oh. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
And welcome back to the St. James
Fest. The Sun Jump Fest.
It's the last week of January.
Yeah.
And we're really feeling dry January, even though we don't drink at all, so that makes no sense. But also, it's hilarious because I feel so sober right now.
Yeah, January just makes you feel like you're having the worst hangover, even if you've not drank.
Yes.
Just depressed. However, February starts next week, and I find February to be worse.
February is the month of love.
It's also the month with the highest death rates.
Is it? I thought that was... Anyway, I thought January had the Blue Monday and all that, which is the most depressing day of the year.
Yes.
But either way, let's not talk of that. Let's have some escapism.
Let us talk about
escapism. Small talks.
Small talks.
Flick through the Book of Dark Ages once more.
Oh, I was going to say something to you then, and I have forgotten what it was. But anyway, you're doing a live show.
Yes. Hey, what are you doing tomorrow, if you're listening to this on the day of release? It's not tomorrow, it's a week on tomorrow.
I was just thinking.
How about you go over to the Wolverhampton Literature Festival website, buy yourself a cheeky little ticket to the Tales and Finish live show, where you'll be able to see the start of a brand new campaign. And it'll be fantasy, so I won't feel like I'm lost in an endless void of pretending I know how to do cosmic horror.
You're quite good at cosmic horror.
And I like fantasy. Fantasy is good.
Yeah.
But come and see the boys, girls and thems and all other aspects of the world. Have a little bit of a shindig. 2:15 till 4:15, Arena Theatre, Wolverhampton, or online if you'd like to get there. It's a pay what you feel.
It's pay what you feel.
And what's
you have to buy
better,
your tickets in advance.
What's better than paying what you feel? You know,
not paying at all.
I mean, paying what you feel means that you get to not only have a good time, but feel good about, you know, helping a brother out. yes, welcome, one and all.
What if people can't come and see our show, like, because they live in the States?
Well, I've already just said you can get a live stream on the website.
Send us money.
yes.
Just send Steve some money, what you would pay for a ticket.
Go over to patreon.com/SDJamesFiles. Join
up. Buy some Warhammer models.
Get some cheekiness. Yeah, if you want to fund my ever-growing plastic crack addiction. I'm currently looking at buying both World Eaters and Orcs for 40k, because I can't make a decision over which one I love more.
No.
My little green boys and my little red boys, both of which have a fucking awesome character to stand behind, because I love Angron. He's like...
Are they both Angron?
No, Angron is World Eaters.
Okay.
Gazkul Fracker is the named like big boy for...
Such nonsense, and I love it.
He's the prophet of the Wah, and he's my favourite thing. I enjoy him. He's so... He puts... I was saying this the other day to, I believe you, whilst we were talking about how orcs have the ability to be really dumb and do the, oh, let's go, oh yeah, ah, pumping, oh, and then you read stuff like, I can't remember what the book is, but there's a book where Gazgul says how he's going to take down all of humanity because he's the prophet of the Wa, and he's talking about, like, he says it in the dumbest way because they speak phonetically, so he's saying, like, I'm the biggest and the baddest, and I will buff up whatever needs buffing, but also remember this when I kill every human ever existing. And you're like, if this was said more, like, if this was said in a more eloquent fashion, this would be terrifying.
Yeah.
But yes.
But it's really not.
Yes. But also, you know, hang on. And I'll say this as a bit of, as we're in small talk. The thing I really like about Angron, and I think I've said this some point somewhere else.
Yeah.
There's two teams that work in Games Workshop that deal with 40k and Age of Sigmar. They're two separate things, so they have two separate teams.
Of course.
And I think it's kind of a globally accepted thing that the design team for Age of Sigmar is out of this world. Like, every model they keep coming out with,
I agree with this.
Each one is prettier and prettier. Whereas 40k, for the most part, it's all very boring. Some of them look cool, some of them look fun, some of them need an update, but predominantly, look at the entire Space Marine chapter collection.
I love the Space Marine chapter, probably because they are boring.
But, like, it's all very slim, they're very, like, plain, flat surface. You make them work by adding your own adornments and colours rather than just going, like, I really love Rust Grey. I think it's a really nice colour, like this weird bluish grey that the Space Wolves live in, and I love it. But also, I get so bored looking at the, look, this one has a gun in its hand. Like, cool, you really went to town on the designs for these. But then you get something like Angron, who was like, I think Angron was the beginning of 2023. And it was one of the first models in 40K where I went, someone's been listening to the AOS team and gone, this is how you design a cool model.
I can't remember what he looks like.
He's the big one with the wings and the massive sword and the tail and roaring.
Oh god, no, that feels like several of them. I thought for a minute I could picture it, but I can't. But I will take your word for it.
No, it's fine.
It's cool, dude.
Yes, I think it... But also, you know, narratively, because this is something I like to do with a lot of things, not just 40K or World or Warhammer in general.
Yes.
I don't want to play the game or the army or watch the film because it's like the good thing to play. I want the thing that makes me go, oh man, I really want to read more of this, or I really want to play more. And
him. Yes. Oh yeah. Okay. For context, Steve has just shown me a picture.
And I've been reading the Horus Heresy series. I'm now 6 books in, of the 50-something books of the series. And then I've got to do the Siege of Terror, which will be... Literally, they released the last book of that this month. Oh. Pretty sure right now, as we're recording this, they are dealing with scalpers getting the last book.
Really?
Yeah.
Does that happen?
Yep. All the time. Because it's a quick, easy win, is you buy it there and then you sell it on because no one else can buy it, because Games Workshop always sell low quality, low numbers.
Quantity, yes.
That's the word, quantity, not quality. But either way, yes, like I was reading the Horus Heresy and the first character that I've met that I'm like, I love this guy. I mean, the main character for the first book, Loken, is just kind of like one of those people who are like, maybe I could get into the good guys. But then you meet Angron, not Angron, yes. You do meet Angron in the first one. You meet Angron and you meet his sidekick, Khan.
I haven't read any of the books, so
and,
I don't know.
And one of my favourite things, I will not... technical spoilers, it's not really a spoiler as such to the larger story, but there's a really badass moment that I always go on about with Khan where in the middle of a war that they're having, someone rams him with a tank. He not only survives this, but throws the tank at an entire army and slaughters them in barehanded combat.
Some men,
by himself, because they're all like that army is all like Super Hulk sort of thing.
Some men are just built different.
Yes, but yes. Anyway, enough of this.
He's not a man, is he?
I mean, he technically they're.
Or was he?
They're genetically enhanced humans. They have like 2 hearts and several sets of lungs, and yes.
Oh, okay.
But either way, this is enough. Going on about 40K and Warhammer and stuff.
No, hey, but Emma. It's interesting because we were talking today at work about the Doomsday Clock.
Yes.
Which apparently has been set to 90 seconds to midnight.
Yeah, that was ages ago now.
Yeah, it is still on 90 seconds. But one of the things that they think will end the world is AI.
Oh yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Because I was on the website, which I've never been on that website, to see what the sort of threats are. So you've got the usual terrorism, nuclear war. We're like, yeah, okay, cool. Then you've got biological threats from AI, and then just other sort of machinery, tech-related things about AI and about robots. I was like, ah, there is going to be a robot uprising. But then later that day, the printer had a paper jam, but wouldn't tell us how to fix it until we turned it off at the plug and on again. And then it told us exactly what to do to get it out. And we were like, well, the machines are dumb.
No, the machines controlled you for an hour as you tried to work out how to fix it. It went, cool, like, now you've done enough.
Could have just said, we took out everything. So it was a shell of a printer. We took out all the paper trays and everything. And it was still going, now tray one is missing. We're like, yes, because we took it out to find this paper. And then we found the bit of paper. And we're like, you could have given us that information at the start, but you didn't.
Yes.
But I refuse to be... outmanned by a printer.
Fantastic.
Yes.
So, shall we jump into the game? Or you got any more small talk? You done?
I feel like I do.
That was so lovely for the audience.
Oh, it's a yawn, sorry. I feel like I do have more small talk. Also, my hand is numb. What is this?
I don't know. Well, let's jump into the game.
Let's jump into the game.
If we need a moment,
yeah,
we'll sort it.
No, probably won't come to me.
Anyway, right, so you have been travelling towards a small village on the bank of a lake in Scotland where,
yes.
And this is in the 1800s as well.
1800s?
No, it was the
1000s. No, it's not, it's
the 1000s. Yes. 10? You're in 1042, I think it was.
Hold on, I wrote this down too. 1042, Edward the Confessor became the king and it's just after the fall of the Roman Empire.
Yes. But yes, we pick up as you are travelling. You've been travelling there. You've been sent at the behest of the Land Baron or Burmaster or whatever you want to call him, who looks after the city or the burgh of Rudaburk, in Northumbria, right. Which would later be the site of the Bloodleaf Hall.
Yes.
You have travelled out there because someone's requested to aid as there is a man left on the lock. Apparently it's something to do with Edmund, the grandson's father. A lot of nonsense has transpired since then. You've found out that you're in the middle of a story because we told you that Roderick, the house carl or whatever... has been
Scott or whatever.
No, the leader of the city has
patriarch.
Been
yes.
He has been telling a story to keep the kids under kind of like a moderate sense of like distraction as there is a large storm blowing around, and the family are struggling to lay down for the evening.
Yes.
Been telling the story of you travelling out to find Edmund's dad with Uncle Leofric as you headed out and you found a small fishing village that had an old man who seemed to be have an affinity with crows and ravens, and you have then, outside of the story being told, found that this man also exists in the real world.
Yes.
As the storm rages on and has got worse and worse, Leofric has returned to the house as he was out checking on the southern gates and such.
Yeah.
It
all got a bit weird, didn't it?
Where he was mortally wounded.
But by what? We don't know.
By a man who disappeared. Mm. And then you met...
Exactly.
You met Edgar in real life, who came in and told you that all of this story that's on Roderick's mind is because he has a guilty conscience. Because...
Why?
Edgar, otherwise known as the Raven King...
Raven!
Has came to collect on the debt that he had raised by asking for aid. And Roderick had to balance the books.
Yeah.
He asked for assistance up on the lake... And in return, the Raven King would look after Rudaburk from outside influence. Unfortunately, things have been going bad, and we don't know why. We don't know because we haven't looked into the minutiae of the house.
No, we probably should look at that.
But as we finished off last story, last episode, we were told that Catherine would see what really was happening as we revisited the fishing village where we left off, as you now have the eye of the raven, the third eye of the raven, allowing you to see what's truly happening at the lake, as the man that you've gone to save is apparently trapped on the lake by slashing tendrils.
Yes. Did we, you know, when we recorded last week, did we do anything in the story? Was it all in the house?
It was all in the house.
I was going to say, it's been a couple of weeks since we were on the lake.
Yes. So, in a entertaining moment, rather than falling into the kind of lull of listening to the storyteller tell the story, you now feel much more thrown into the story more physically as you arrive back standing as the hero that's on the lake to assist Leofric. But as you turn to see Leofric, you don't recognise him as such, where he had the slick back, greasy hair, scarred face, clean shaven with a bit of scraggle. kind of
yep.
tan skin. You now see the blondish, goateed face of a young Roderick standing next to you, in the same garb, in the same position as you have just buried the four bodies that you found in the house. As you turn now, there is a moment of pure terror. I'm not going to make you roll for it because you've already rolled the sanity to get the Eye of the Raven. But you have been warned that further penalties will... As you turn around, there is a moment of... You're not sure if it's just the nature of being thrown into the story or if it's kind of like this weird kind of like euphoric sensation that's happening as everything just seems to be flitting from reality to reality sort of thing. But as you turn around, it, almost as you see the lake behind you, it's like something is kind of like there's some sort of camera shake or something like that as you look at it. But the water seems to be vibrating even though everything else around it is smooth.
The water seems to be vibrating even though everything around it is smooth.
Like, not vibrating as such, but like, you know that kind of like camera shake?
Yeah.
Where someone's holding it as like looking like a tremor sort of thing.
Yes.
It's like that, but it's only the lake that's doing it.
That's really weird. And the man standing in front of me is not Leo, it's Roderick.
Yes.
Okay, great. So the last thing that I remember from being on the lake is that I looked up and the man was on the hill. The Raven King was on the hill. Watching.
Yes.
And now I'm looking at Leo Frick and he's actually Roderick.
Yes.
Okay. Looking out to the lake, there is a little island, you said.
Yes.
But there's no man on it.
That you can see from this distance, no.
Okay. Oh, wow, it's much further away than I thought then.
It's a large lake.
Okay. I'm reluctant to interact with I'm reluctant to interact with Leo Frick. I can only see him as Roderick because of the Eye of the Raven, right?
That you're aware of.
So if I interact with him as Leo, is Roddy going to do something that he wouldn't normally do?
Who knows? I mean, we'll find out.
What I'm assuming is that Roderick is telling this story in the present day of a time in his youth when he did a thing, and I'm just there.
Yes.
So it's not a... It's not
You're aware he's been embellishing things to keep the children entertained.
Okay.
But now this story isn't about the children. This is Edgar telling the story from the real point, apparently.
Okay. He always comes in with the creepiest noises at the right time.
Sorry, Skip.
Is the Raven King close enough for me to talk to?
He was off. He was off distance. On the hill. As you are having these thoughts and things, there is a gasp from beside you as now you turn and see that the four people that were with you are no longer there. There is just Roderick, and looking down, there are four people in the grave that has not been filled in yet. There is no two children, there is no man and woman. There is now the four soldiers.
My four boys are now in the grave?
Yes.
Okay. Silly question? I don't know if it is. How did they get there? Like, do they look like they've been murdered? Or do they look like they're sleeping? Or
make a intelligence check to see if you're... Psyche is kind of catching up with
passed.
Her. Lovely. Yay! It's the first pass in the scenario.
I got a hard pass as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's happened. We can sign off happy.
Yeah, and that's the end of the St. James Files now.
you get a moment of, as you look down, and there's a moment of confusion because you're seeing both things happening at the same time. You see that family, and then it kind of like shivers and turns into the reality of seeing the actual four soldiers. You see that they are sodden with water to the waist down, as if they've been trying to wade into water. you can see that they're one or two of them look to have been slashed at, as if have been in heavy combat with swords recently, and one of them specifically shows signs of strangulation, as you can see the bruising around the neck and the purpling of the face.
Now, the Catherine in the story doesn't know about the tentacles of the lake.
The Catherine in the story knows about it. I've just said you're not in the. You've not gone back to telling the story. You've been thrown yourself into the story.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm with you.
So the person who was in the Great Hall here is now physically standing in the story.
Kind of watching what's going on, because I'm reluctant to take any action that would alter it. What if I stand back and gesture for Roderick to go towards the lake?
You do this. Roderick turns and spits on the ground over his shoulder. You think the bastard's going to let us go again? He's already taken four. Whatever's in the water. We've been here for hours. I understand we've lost four men, but I need you to think sharp. Are you still with me? And he kind of clicks in your face.
Yes.
I don't need another person lost. Okay. So let's take a moment of pause and think about what's happened. Every time we have tried to get into the water or onto the boats on the jetty, things have clawed at us from the water. It looks like some sort of large fish or some sort. Seems to be somewhat slimy and tentacled.
Yes, that's what's killed the men. But I can't see anybody on the island.
The island's further around. We've come to a point at the bottom of the lake. Fortunately, we sent two of them to go and have a look around, but after following around to check on them, we found them dead.
And he's just watching. I gesture to the Raven King.
He's not there, as you gesture to him.
He's gone. Maybe there has to be, if we are meant to go to the island in the middle, there has to be a way of crossing the water.
I don't know. The people here have been less than helpful.
Maybe they felt you were an outsider coming in?
So at this point, I'll remind you that there has been no one at the village.
Yes.
And he is now saying that the people here have been less than helpful.
I realise that. So this is me in real life. So, in the story with Leo, we didn't see anybody in the village. So when he says that the people have been less than helpful, my first thought is, I don't know what people he's talking about, because there are no people. But hold on a minute, if now we're back in his memory kind of thing, what's happened to the people? Which I will ask him, what happened to the people?
Great. I have lost four men physically, and I'm losing my fifth in sanity. He gestures towards the buildings where you can see the closest buildings, there is a well-off nature to the, because of the scenario that's here. There are wooden shacks that have been set up in kind of like log cabin style, rather than the more kind of like run-down nature of buildings that would be around this time. You see in the closest kind of like window, there are an old lady and an older man watching out of it, without even like a netting or anything to block it. They're very obviously watching. They look grey-skinned, very thin and haggard, as if almost like deteriorating past the point of living, but still somehow standing. Sallow, kind of like hanging skin. You can see wrinkles and such. They look also very heavily laden in soot.
Okay. I look in the direction of the house where these people are, and then I look back at Roderick. What did they say when you asked for help?
Couldn't understand the dialect.
I'm getting a very strong sense that they don't want us here.
Well, we've been sent here by request to help a man on the lake. And I'll be damned if I'll dishonour my word. I gave my word I would come and help.
That's good of you.
And I need to keep that promise, otherwise who knows how things will turn out.
That's good of you. Let me go and try talking to them. Maybe it just needs a different approach.
He just shrugs and starts filling in the grave.
Okay. I just watch him for a second, like... Okay. He doesn't even seem that emotional about it.
Apparently,
I mean, he's a general of an army, so he wouldn't be that emotional about it, but he doesn't seem bothered. Let me go over to the house with the old people and see what they have to say. I'm just writing that down.
Hmm?
Okay. Yep, I'm going to knock on their door. If they... Can they see me coming? Yes. As in...
They're literally watching out the window.
Okay. Do they... They don't duck away from the window?
Nope.
Right, I knock on the door.
Okay. The...
Oh, sorry. Ugly...
Oh, sorry, we needed that.
There was a pause. I went, oh, no, I usually knock.
Lovely. You walk around to the door. You see that the elderly man walks up. And to give a full kind of like definition of this is they look like they've been drawn by David Firth. That's the kind of feel I'm going for.
Which one's David Firth?
It's the one who does salad fingers.
Oh, God, okay.
That kind of like...
Creepy. I don't like this already.
Weird.
I didn't know salad fingers was coming into it.
Yes.
Oh, why?
Because I like aesthetic. Anyway.
Yeah, you do.
I literally said this about 20 minutes ago where I was talking about I want to play an army for its aesthetic, not because it's good. Anyway,
you should make an army look like salad fingers.
That's why I play orcs. Anyway. They're rusty spoons.
They're too fat to be salad fingers.
What, the cruel boys?
Oh, okay.
Anyway, right. But that's in AOS, Stephen.
It's in AOS.
Anyway, you wander around. The door opens. I'd need you to if you would be so kind, tell me what languages you speak. I believe it was just English and a little bit of Latin, or
yeah, a little bit of old English, French type. Those sort of older languages that. Is what English as we know it came from.
That's fine. Well, with that then, I will say, could you make a... There's read and write, and there's other language check. It's a 1% as a base.
Great. I got a 39. So low, but not low enough.
Lovely. I won't do the obvious thing of going, you hear, but you hear a very harsh dialect. It sounds almost like what would later be referred to as dyslexia sort of thing. It's like someone's taken English and mixed up the words.
Oh, okay.
And the letters. The dialect and the voice and accent is harsh. A lot of rolling of R's.
Okay. So I don't know if they can understand me, but I'm going to talk English anyway. But not, I'm not going to go slow and loud like people do when they think people can't understand them. Apologies. We need assistance. Can you help?
Again, struggle to. You can tell by the face without even doing like a psychology check. There is a look of ambivalence and misunderstanding.
Oh, interesting. Ambivalence rather than just, I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, there seems to be like like the way that you're reading it is they're not like frustrated. They don't understand. They don't understand you. They're not put
up. Really care.
Yeah. It's a, you have come here. You have caused a scene.
Yes.
And they have watched.
I am sorry for my general, pointing at Broderick. we need to help somebody in the lake. There's a lot of gesturing going on. There's a lot of, like, gesture of waves, pointing out yonder to the middle of the island. I don't know how you do some sort of appropriate sign language for the word help, but we need to help. Something is fighting us. How can we stop it?
He will... I'll go with... make a... make a fast talk check, I think.
Oh, interesting.
Not a fast talk, because you're not... make a charm check for me. But you'll have disadvantage or penalty die.
Okay.
You are not speaking the lingo.
Okay, I still passed.
Well done.
Both of them passed. The second time I rolled, I got 25. The first time I got 35.
So. Nice.
Charm, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Take that off.
It was that or persuade. I feel like you're trying to be, like, placating.
I wouldn't have passed persuade with that roll.
That's fine. I did say charm.
Charm, yes.
Because you are trying to be... you are trying to be... You're apologising and you're... It's not... It is a persuade as such, but you're trying to do it in a certain way. Where in...
Yes.
Where in Dungeons & Dragons, for example, I would say this is a persuasion check.
Yeah. Because
that's the only one you can kind of do.
Yes.
There is an element of the way you're... Because you could also do I'm trying to bullshit my way out of this. Fast talk.
Yeah,
I'm trying to stick on the sugar in that lot with it.
Yeah.
It's a charm. I'm genuinely just trying to get my way persuaded.
Yeah. So I get the sense that Roderick isn't the nicest of people sometimes. So I imagine that anything he did say would come across as quite brusque and why you thinking that other people are beneath him. So I don't know if that's true. So I'm going to try and be the good cop.
Yep.
But also, I genuinely... Well, I'm asking questions with no ulterior motive. Yes. I genuinely just want their help.
Yes. There is a moment where he looks at you. You could see that it's kind of like... He's trying to understand what you're saying and stuff. And again, you hear this kind of like accent again. But you hear him in like very slow, laboured, now English that you hear this sentence. Yeah. Speak... to fisherman.
In the fishing hut.
Fisherman.
Right. Thank you. I do like almost like a little bow sort of thing to signify gratitude. I leave their house.
Mm-hmm.
I walk back to Roderick. I say, I'm going to talk to a fisherman. Then I walk towards one of the fishing huts.
Okay. Cool.
One on the left, in case it matters.
Oh, it does.
Oh, it does.
Oh, it does. One fisherman always lies and one fisherman always tells the truth.
I catch many a fish. He doesn't catch any fish. I can never work those riddles out.
Ask the other one. Ask one of them what the other one would say. If which door would they point to? Because the one who would lie would tell you the door that leads to, the one who lies would tell you the door that leads to death because he can't tell the truth.
No.
And the one who tells the truth will tell you which one is the bad door.
Yes. So then you go for the other one.
Yeah. So it's always the one that both of them say no.
Not that this riddle comes up in daily life, but I always go, oh my God, like in the moment, what? I don't.
There's some of them which are like they've been done so many times you kind of remember them and then know how to do it. It's like the one that always bugs me is the Sphinx riddle of what walks on two legs, four legs and two legs and three. It's like, well, technically a cane is not a leg and
it's not a leg.
Also neither are arms.
No, like I hate that one because it just doesn't.
But also I get that there's a metaphorical.
There's also four legs in the morning.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, no.
But either way, yes, you head towards the left.
I do, yes.
And it is time to see how far I can push you to the edge as I ask you to make a sanity check.
My sanity currently is 20. 23 or 25? I can't read what I've written.
23.
It's 23.
So that was 57. I got 38. Oh no.
Oh no.
It's a fail.
I failed. No. I failed by 15. Oh, why do I have to fail the things that matter?
Now.
What's in the fishing hut?
I'm just trying to find the page.
What's in the hut?
We're losing our minds. Apologies to all those listeners to be like, what in God's name?
I've had a very long day, but I'm glad we're filming this, recording this tonight and not tomorrow, because tomorrow's going to be even worse for me at work. And we're just a bit, we've been insane since we got home.
Yes. You lose 1d4.
1d4? You mean I have to roll a dice that
I'm going
to
roll it.
Oh, okay.
You lose 3 points of sanity, which means you're 2 away from a really bad day. Because in-game time...
Yes.
Technically, you lost a large amount getting the, but there was a function to it, and then I've said going
just
forward.
Just for your notes, I am currently on 20 points, and I am insane at 8.
No.
That's the number it worked out for me.
No, so the way that that works, that number.
Oh, when I use 8 points.
So no, so in, you have a number, you have a number of points that you need to remember. You have 5 points in game and a fifth of your sanity.
Yes, so my max sanity is 40.
Yeah, and that's where
so
the
that's where
8
comes from. So currently it's 4 then.
If you lose, yeah, the idea is if you lose a fifth of your, you go into indefinite insanity, I believe.
Oh my
god.
Is
the exact thing. Here we go. I've got it right. I almost opened it to the page.
Oh, it's like Cthulhu himself.
Losing a fifth or more of current sanity points in a game day. So if you lose 5 more points, technically it would be 1 more point because you started on 20.
Started on 23, just lost 3.
It's indefinite insanity is that one. When you go to 0, it's permanent.
Yep.
Temporary insanity is where you have lost 5 or more points as a result of a roll in one instance.
Critical,
but anyway, yes. Coming into the room, you see a man who looks like skin is hanging off him. Like he's almost wearing a skin suit.
Is he alive?
He looks to be alive, barely.
This is a man who's been in the water for too long.
Yes.
This is what happens
it looks
to
like
bodies.
It looks like a man who's been in the water for too long is the best description I could give. He is also greying. He looks to have some sort of like folds around the neck area. His lips look almost like they're falling off his face. In the kind of like, to kind of give it a more cartoonish design, but also fully lean into what we're seeing here. It looks like a human has been drawn for SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yes.
In that kind of like weird like...
Does he look like Plankton?
O-type mouth.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you.
His bags under his eyes make it look as if the skin is actually falling away from the sockets. It's hideous.
He sounds yummy.
He is wearing simple garb and has hooks that you can now see as you start to look into the room and you see all the like crabbing boxes and stuff like that. He has hooks in his arm as if he's been caught by his own fishing.
Okay. So just to clarify, I don't just walk into this man's hut, because you never walk into a man's hut.
Well, you would have knocked the door and this would have answered.
I would have knocked the door. This answered. I am taken aback.
Yes.
I have lost 3 points of sanity, is what I might say.
Oh, Lordy.
Oh, Lord.
You would have an involuntary action at that point, so you'd have like a scream or...
Yes, probably a scream, because this wasn't what I was expecting. Although after the couple, it kind of... Isn't that out of the ordinary?
Oh, no, this is even worse.
Oh, okay.
Like, you didn't lose sanity for those, but also this is definitely...
Okay, super awesome, wow. Hello.
As he speaks, because I cannot do the voice of That's this, funny. I apologise, it sounds like he has a... It's like he's trying to talk through before swallowing something. So he sounds like he's always got a mouthful of water or something like that.
Oh, is he like, ooh?
No, not like...
Is he concerned
blood
boy?
He is Octodad.
Is he Octodad? Is he? Oh my god, is that the twist? He's Octodad.
I've been Octodad the whole time.
The thing with tentacles is Octodad just batting someone on the island.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, solved.
Cthulhu.
Either or, they're really the same thing.
One is yellow.
Hello. I need help. And I go through the same thing that I did to the couple about I want to help the person on the island, but I can't get to the island because something in the water is fighting. They, the people at home can't see these gestures. They said I should talk to you for help.
I understand.
Good. This is when he speaks better English than I do. Like, oh shit. Did he actually say that in a voice that I understood?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Again, the kind of weird nature to the voice is not there because I can't act.
No, that's fine. Yeah, hold on.
You need to make an offering to the water.
What sort of offering?
An offering of blood.
Like a little bit?
He looks, and you can see behind.
I already know that that's a fruitless thing to say because he definitely wants a body, let's be honest.
He looks around and you can smell the iron and the tang of the room behind him where he's obviously prepared fish and such. But he turns and reaches down behind the door and pulls back up a large bucket that you can see is sloshing back and forth. It seems to have fish heads in it.
This is the blood. I feed him.
Feed the creature.
With the fish.
Yes.
Do I stand on the shore and throw them in?
He looks down to the bucket. Feed the creature.
Right. All of this, or do you want some bag? Feed the creature.
You have silver?
A little.
He brings a hand up with an open palm, and as he does this, you notice that where usually you would see five fingers stretching out, you see there is webbing between the fingers as he stretches out. A clawed kind of hand, almost like the a duck's kind of like foot, but has been placed on the end of his arm.
Right.
And it's greying and bluish and...
Just like those things from Buffy. Okay,
silver.
I pull out a couple of coins. Silver coins. I wouldn't have much money on me at all. So.
Well, with the joy of... Yeah. Call of Cthulhu, there is the spending level, so as long as you're not going frivolously, you have a spending level.
Making it rain. dollar bills, yo. Just fishing on.
It's going to take about 700 years for the dollar to appear, so...
I give him a couple of coins.
He takes them, weighs them in his hand, and then reaches into his like robe that he's wearing, puts them into his pocket.
To his side. Into his gills.
And then he raises the bucket and hands it to you.
I take the bucket. I nod. Thank you. I will feed him.
Nods.
I leave the hut almost kind of like walking backwards to maintain eye contact and respect. So thank you for your fish heads. Once I'm outside, go over to Roderick. He gave me this. We have to feed the creature.
Yes, okay, fantastic. That explains why he's killed four of our boys.
Maybe they didn't have the fish heads.
No, we didn't have any fish heads.
The fisherman said that this would work.
Okay.
I take a fish head out of the bucket and I lob it into the water.
As you do, you hear the... as it hits the water.
That's
and then...
really good.
Thank you.
Let me throw another one, just hear it again. Oh, it's a bigger one.
Sounds a hungry boy.
Let me throw this tiny one in. Baby fish.
Anyway, Mercer, eat your heart out. Anyway,
I'm not going to draw a fish head in my notebook.
All GMs trying to be Matt Mercer with his goddamn sounds.
What if I throw three in at once? throw one fish head in.
Anyway.
I throw a second. Okay.
You see it hit the water, and then you watch as there is a rush of something under the water's surface that flings towards the point where the water hit the fish head hit the surface, and there is like a flurry of something that causes like almost like a like bubbling and like
a whirlpool
whirling kind of in the water. Yes,
but I can't see what it is.
You can't see what it is because it's under the water.
Okay.
You hear from behind you. I would probably use boat.
Thank you. Where's the boat?
You're on a jetty.
That's true, yeah.
You can see there are boats.
Just a boat?
There are rowboats okay. Along the side of the jetty. But now that the creature has moved away from the jetty, the boat would be able to be... You'd be able to use the boat without...
I would like to get in the boat. Now, I don't know if Roderick is coming with me or not. But also, I feel like he doesn't know what to do.
Roderick gets in the boat with you.
Hi, Roderick. Let's have a nice boat trip.
Picks up the oars. I would be sparing with that, but don't worry too much about. As long as we've got some for the journey back.
Yes.
And between the two of you. You row out towards where you see there is a small bluff where there is a man holding a spear and is jabbing at things that can't be seen to the naked eye. As he gets there.
Does this rowboat carry three people?
Who knows? We'll only find out in a moment, won't we?
I just had that thought.
It could hold four people at a push.
Okay, fine.
Between the two of you, you managed to get over there. You are intermittently throwing fish heads.
Yes.
Really
far away from the boat.
Make a luck check for
me. No, I don't want to. What is my luck? Hold on. 53.
53.
I got a 49. Look at me, passing everything like a pro.
You managed to get to the island with more than half of a bucket left. But you notice that you're now getting to a point of like, it's more. There is still more blood than there is physical things.
I mean, that's good. He said feed the blood, so, you know, he might like it.
Yes.
Yay.
You get there, and as you get closer, you now see this kind of like wild-haired ginger man, kind of like scruffy beard that looks like it's kind of almost like... he's kind of been dragged through a hedge backwards and then done again for good measure. He seems to be wearing like a warrior's garb sort of thing. And on the front, there is like a cloth that shows a heart with flames around it.
Like Richard the Lionheart. sorry, I missed the rest of the description because I was writing something else.
Crazy hair, wearing warrior's garb, has a linen kind of like sheet on the breastplate that shows a burning heart.
Okay. Okay. Once we sail close enough, I'll get out. Does he do anything when we're coming nearer?
As you get there, you hear about bloody time.
Yes.
We've been waiting for a while.
We?
As he says this, from around a larger rock on the boat, there is a skinny, like very ill-looking boy, about 10, 12 years old. Looks to be, basically, to give a quick description, it looks like a very young Edgar sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
Or if not, perfect. The child of Edgar.
Okay, that's just the two of you.
Yes, he was swimming out here and something caught him under the water. I came out as quick as I could, but it damaged the boat and you can see now that what he's been using to jab at the spear is literally parts of a rowboat that he's fashioned into some sort of like larger... spear. As you are here and you have been seeing things, I would say make a spot hidden check to see if you can see. It's a, other than this, like a few like rocky outcroppings on this small, bluff of land in the middle of the water. There's nothing here, but as you kind of turn to see what has been, as he's also stopped stabbing at things, you can't see what he's been fighting off at this point.
I failed that one.
Yes, that's why I say you can't
see. Sorry, I thought you were. I thought I talked over you.
That's fine.
Okay.
Right.
Get in the boat. We'll take you back. We have to feed it blood and it leaves us alone.
Okay. And he gestures toward the lad. We're going to struggle to fit in there, fending off this thing and...
We could take one of you and come back.
That sounds like a reasonable solution. Gestures towards the boy. Do you want to take him first or...
Yes, we can take him first if that's okay with you. And I say that to the boy.
He kind of nods sheepishly.
Okay. I've been helping Roderick Rowe, haven't I?
No, you've been throwing food whilst Roderick Rowe.
So in that case, I will get back in the boat. I was going to say I won't. I'll let the two of them go. But I'm going to get back in the boat. I'm going to throw another fish head in, but... Because we've now got to make a return journey, mm-hmm. I am apprehensive about how many fish heads we have left.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Make a, at this point, because now it becomes a bit more fun, make a throw check for me. I believe you have a 25
pace. Yes. That was a 58. Can't throw. Instead, I hit myself in the face.
you start to row back with the boy.
My arm is very tired.
I mean, yeah. You start to row back with the boy, and the first moment of right. So we've been feeding it intermittently. So you then get to a point like right. I should probably throw it again.
Yeah.
And as you throw this one, it lands shorter than expected, actually, out in a distance.
No!
It lands basically in front of you, just in the water. And you watch as this writhing kind of snake-like tentacle slams up against the boat. I would say... Let's see what happens here.
I've got too excited and I started myself
talking. Oh, it didn't go
I
there.
Am so tense.
The boat is going to take some damage.
Oh my god, it's only a small boat.
You hear the cracking of water, of wood, as, oh god, it really does do some nasty stuff. Ooh. So it didn't get a hard pass or a critical, but it did get...
A super duper critical.
And a D10. The boat takes 15 points of damage as you hear the cracking of wood as this tentacle, this large kind of like snail like appendage, it looks like a large slug, it's kind of like slammed up against the boat, and you watch as the tip of it kind of laps over and then pulls down, and as it does you hear the creaking of the already snapping wood around you, and the boat kind of starts to lull to one side. What do you do in this moment?
Scream.
Fantastic.
Screen first. I've just drawn a picture of it, but it kind of looks like we're being hit by a massive penis of water.
Fantastic.
Take another fish head, throw it further away.
Okay, cool. You will go with a throw check for me.
Six.
Well done. You panicking you. And kind of screaming at this thing, you take the and lob it with all of your might.
Yes.
And as you do, the tentacle kind of like pulls again, and there's almost a moment where you're like, oh god, this could collapse if we don't balance it quickly. So between the three of you, you manage to kind of like stop the boat from capsizing, but you feel the sensation of whatever's under the water rushing towards that head.
Yeah.
As this also happens. For the sake of fun, you notice that the bucket has somehow been sloshed in the rocking of the boat, and you've noticed that behind the boat now there is a large like slosh of blood on the back.
No, he's going to come onto the boat!
You also see that in the side of the boat now there is a large crack in the wood. Like, if it takes another big hit, that boat is snapping in half.
Okay. How fast can Roderick row?
You don't say, can he row? He will make a strength check.
Row faster.
He passes. So he starts to double time and tries to rush as quickly as possible.
Good.
You, seeing this, are you going to double your efforts in trying to keep the... Okay, cool. I would ask, finally, for a luck check to see if you can manage to get to the shore without this thing getting you. What did you get?
I don't want to tell you.
You tell me what you got.
Oh, I didn't roll. Let me roll again.
No, you didn't. I heard it. Yeah, we all heard it, didn't we, listeners?
I failed. I failed the luck check badly. Just out of interest, if I had rolled again. Oh, I still would have failed.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
No, it's not. I don't want to end up in the sea. I can't swim. She can't swim.
Oh, can't she?
I haven't got a swim score. I've got the base on here, but she can't swim.
Well, she's just seen the boat take another 15 points of damage. As you hear there's a moment of you're trying your hardest to keep it, and you're seeing the shore getting there. You watch as the slapping of the oars are like causing disruption in the water, and it's all getting very tense and panicky. There is a moment where you think you're finally getting there. You can hear the sound of like stones or something underneath the boat as it rubs against the lower bank, and then you realise no, there's still a good few minutes before you hit the bank.
Oh my god.
And you realise that the feeling that you're feeling is the creature has somehow come around and brushed under the boat itself. Before it comes around and slaps over the back of the boat. I would ask you to make another sanity check.
Passed.
You only took a D4.
No, I didn't. I failed by 4 points.
You failed by 4 points. Then you're taking a full D6.
I don't want to. I don't deserve it. Is it six?
You lose 6 points of sanity.
I'm on 14.
And I need you to make an intelligence check because you go into indefinite.
No, I failed it.
You want to fail this one?
Yeah, I do actually.
Because if you pass this one, this is where the problem happens.
Yeah, I don't realise what I'm seeing, do I?
No. The exact wording.
This is stressful, man. Oh, I nearly wet myself then. I'm so tense. stress.
So, yes, you lose a full 6 points of sanity. And you did want to... You want to fail this one because the exact wording, as I pull it up out of the thing, Keeper asks for intelligent roll. If the roll has failed, the investigator has repressed the memory, a trick of the mind to protect itself, and does not become insane. Perversely, if the intelligence roll succeeds, the investigator recognises the full significance of what has been seen or experienced and goes temporarily insane.
Waving my hands around like a muppet.
You're going to have a phobia of water going forward.
Yeah, okay.
Of open water. You have thalassophobia now.
Oh, good.
You are terrified of things in the water. As you see, you're not sure what to expect to come over, and you're also not sure what this thing is that has this tentacle. The best way to describe this is if a mutant overgrown starfish was now trying to claw itself over the top of the boat. You see this weird kind of like three tentacles coming off what would be like the top of it as this large gaping maw bites onto the part of the wood that is covered in blood, and you hear the cracking of wood as it splinters and then pulls the backboard of the boat off.
Oh god.
And the water starts to seep into the bottom of the floorboard area very quickly.
Okay.
You reckon with the amount of damage it's taken, although one big hit would have broke it in half, because it hasn't targeted the same place twice, you now think it's probably got one last hit in it before it is completely destroyed. But you're watching as the water is fast filling in the bottom of the boat. What do you do?
How close is the shore?
The shore is about a few minutes away. So
a few minutes, like rowing?
Yes. And with the water coming in, it's going to be harder. It's at this point that Roderick shouts, "Do we jump or?"
I don't know. I can't swim.
What do you mean you can't swim?
I can't swim.
Oh, for God's sake! And he just starts
learned to read.
Exert himself trying to push through, but through the tiredness and the sheer burning of the action of sailing back and forth, you can see that he's starting to lag as the water comes on. And the boat starts to slowly sink. He is panicking in the middle of this.
Okay, yeah, just checking. Okay, that's kind of what I thought he'd be doing. We're going to have to get out of the boat.
Fine, women and children first. And he
throws me in the water.
He stands up and kind of like brandishes the oar, ready to swat this thing as it comes towards you. You have a bucket of basically running out blood here.
Yeah, okay.
What do you do?
Can I fling a fish head really far away?
You fling a fish head. I'll ask for a throw roll.
No, I don't want to because it's just going to land at my feet, isn't it? No! Ow! 95. No! I can't throw the fish!
You take a moment and pure panic and adrenaline kicks in as you take your hand and you go, right, I'll throw it. And as you do, you realise you're not throwing a fish head. You grab the bucket and you lot as if like throwing the whole thing right into the face of the child.
Oh my God, no!
Who screams and falls backwards into the water. And it's at this point that I will leave this moment here and we'll find out what happened.
No, you can't do this. I've just thrown a bucket of blood in a kid's face and pushed him into a lake. Like accidentally, but oh, Stephen!
Find out what happened
then. No, Stephen, no! Oh my God!
I'm joking, that's fine. We can go on a little bit further. I thought it'd be a nice moment to end, but
No, we can end it, but oh my God! I'm a terrible person, I'm a witch.
Do you want to? What would you do?
What time are we on?
We're going fine. What would you like to do?
Can we at least see if we get to shore?
Yeah. So you've thrown this. The kid goes flying under. Roderick reaches out to slap towards the creature as it comes.
Oh God.
Spiraling. You can now see this full magnitude of the creature. It looks like this almost like a physical comet under the water as you watch this kind of like reverse squid shoot forwards.
Oh my God.
It is going to lunge towards the boy.
No.
And he lunges towards the boy, and Roderick has swung for an attack. He just passes his attack. So we will do a...
I draw squids.
Plus damage bonus of d4. He does 1 point of damage to this creature.
Great.
As he pushes down and slams into, and you hear this, you feel it more than you hear it, but you hear a screech from under the water, and then you hear the sound of crunching.
Oh God, is it chewing the wood?
Do you stand and fight, or do you flee for the shore?
Flee for the shore, but I want the kid because...
That's what I mean. Are you staying to help the kid?
Oh, yeah, I'm staying to help the kid. So if the kid's in the water, I'll go in the water after him.
Okay, so you jump over into the water.
Yep.
You have limited... you can't jump to the water. Or you have Thalassa, you have...
Oh, yeah.
You have a sudden fear of everything under the water. I would need a concerted sanity check to... This isn't you won't lose it if you do it, but this is a can I act in this moment of pressure and fear.
I failed my sanity check by one.
You can't add luck onto a sanity check. You take a moment, you brace yourself as if, right, I'm going to do this, I'm going to jump in.
Do this anyway.
And as you do, there is a weird kind of like tunnel vision that kicks in as you look down at the water, and it suddenly seems to expand in front of you, and it's terrifying, and you are frozen in fear at the concept of actually jumping in.
Okay.
You hear almost like muffled from the next room sort of thing. You can hear Roderick shouting something, but you're not sure what he's shouting.
No, everything's just a blur. Everything's just noise.
Oh dear. Oh no. You, as you're watching this and frozen in fear, you hear sudden squelching and cracking from underneath you, and you watch as the murky black-brown water turns crimson red.
Oh my God!
You feel something grab you round the waist, and you are basically knocked out by the inertia of cold water hitting you and the fear of actually being dropped into the water. And that cold kind of shakes through you, and you kind of take that moment of fear and panic, and you realise that you're scrunching your eyes closed, and as you open them again, you're now sat in the very cold grand hall of the house on the hill, watching, basically staring daggers at one another, Roderick and Edgar, or the Raven King.
Do they say anything?
And I think this is a point that we will stop.
Yes.
But as a point of interest, I think this is a point that we will come back to in a new scenario. Okay. Should we want to explore a bit more of the story of Rudabook and the Raven King versus the Raven King versus Rudabook.
Did the creature eat the boy?
Yes.
Oh God.
He rolled a 4 on his attack, which means that he does a critical damage. His damage was a d10, and his damage bonus was 3d6. So he gets 28 damage.
Oh my God!
The boy had, like, 8.
Oh shit.
And this is why the Raven King has a bone to pick with...
Not the boy's bone.
Roderick.
But also, if I'd succeeded in all my throws, I might have thrown the fish heads further away and we might never have been attacked.
Essentially, the plot that I had at this point, because this is kind of like a brief wrap-up, I didn't realise how much was going to happen, and then I went, no, actually, this is a good way to wrap this up. Essentially, the family despise Edgar. Right. Not the family, the people despise Edgar, so would turn on the child as it gets back.
Oh, God. Okay.
So it was one cruelty or the other, essentially.
I don't know what's worse. But...
this one makes it more Roderick's fault than it does Roderick bringing the child back. Yes, you have been fighting essentially a version of a thing called the Demon of Beulah's Chess.
Okay.
Monstrous entity that serves one person to guard, one purpose, to guard the Heartlight against all those who would take it.
Okay.
But it essentially is a writhing group of tentacles.
Yeah, it is. It's not the weird starfish thing that I drew or the squid.
Well, you know, it kind of looks like it. Anyway, but it's not the actual thing. I was just using the stat block
because
it has the feel of what I was going for. But yes, that has been Silent Night.
Thank you.
The next steps would be going into essentially, like, what happens, the outcome of this.
Yeah.
Technically, we finish on a cliffhanger here.
Yep.
But was always the plan, essentially, was you realise the dark past of this, and then if we go, actually, I want to play this a bit more, we then have new scenario sort of thing.
Yeah.
But also, if it's something that we're like, let's put it on the back burner for a bit, and we want to try something different, like we have the wanted to do Monster of the Week and a Gloom episode and stuff, we have those things. Mm. But yeah, so it felt the right place to stop the story rather than I had that brief moment of like, we'll pick up here to see what you deal with, because it's kind of like a nice cliffhanger. But yes, then realise madness. But also it was entertaining to watch you squirm and be like, no, I need to know.
I need to know. I don't like it.
But this is also part of GMing that is also very enjoyable, is having the like, and thank you very much for basically feeding my egotism.
I know.
But it's that thing of like, you have your audience or like your players be like, oh my God, I need to know. You're like, okay, I've like tapped into that thing.
Yeah.
But yes.
Oh my God, I threw a bucket of blood and fish heads at a boy and then he got eaten by a sea creature.
But yes, this has been Silent Night. It was going to have a bit more Christmassy stuff over the 2 weeks that we unfortunately had to take off due to illness. But that was where we were going to have a little bit of a Krampus thing and then leading Krampus to be involved into the larger things. But yes. We will drop this here for a while. Let us know what you think. Let us
please, because I'm stressed now.
The usual feedback places, you can let us know on Spotify with the question at the bottom of the episode. Yep. You can drop us comments and such on our social medias.
Yep.
Find all the links you need on beacons.ai/sdjamesfiles. If you'd like to support us and what we do, please go over to the Patreon for the patreon.com/sdjamesfiles. Not only does this help the podcast, but it also helps the Warhammer YouTube channel. We've now turned into a completely free thing.
yeah,
of which, for those that You won't know this yet because it hasn't come out on the episode, because that comes out on February the 1st, but March 1st's game is going to be even more chaotic.
But
More on that later. And also, if you want to know more, go check out the YouTube channel when it comes out in February the 1st.
Yes.
Nothing else really to say.
No.
Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for writing, leading this whole thing, creeping me out.
Thank you for playing. Between now and the next episode, we need to go learn how to play Gloom again, because we're going to have silly little thing. And then we also, I believe the next thing you want to do after Gloom is Monster of the Week. So we'll have a chat about that off the air, and you'll see some teasers for that coming up after this. But until then, thank you very much for listening, as just said. And stay spooky, weird starfish thing.
Boy with a bucket of blood thrown on him.
Bye.
Bye.